Hi, and welcome to this second edition of the Development Finance and CDC podcast. I'm Jack Aldane, the editor of Development Finance.
And I'm Rob Comber from CDC.
In this episode, we're looking at the attributes required to successfully lead a business in a fragile or conflict-affected state. Over the course of the show, we'll hear from the CEOs of businesses which operate over several countries classified as fragile.
This includes an interview with a person who's leading a successful company in the ever-changing business environment in the DRC.
The business environment of the country, of the DRC, is very, very turbulent. A good CEO has to be prepared and resist to shocks.
We'll also talk to the chief executive officer of a company in Ethiopia about why there are always risks in developing countries, regardless of whether they are classified as fragile or not.
Before we meet our CEOs, though, we wanted to give you a bit of background on what exactly makes up a fragile or conflict-affected state.
Fragile states are countries that exist in acutely adverse circumstances to growth, all of which amounts to prolonged economic stagnation, about which it often appears very little can be done. Having said that, businesses exist within many of the world's lowest income countries and survive in spite of major internal and external shocks. We want to talk to some of the people whose job it is to lead firms through these relentless difficulties, particularly when the goal is, as it is for those we spoke to improve people's lives while still functioning as a business in an environment that couldn't be more stacked against you from that perspective. We used the World Bank's list of fragile states to select the countries we cover here.
I'm Tessa Bila. I'm the managing director of Congo Invest Consulting, a private consulting firm based in Kinshasa, DRC, since 2012.
Our first guest is Tessa Bila from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I started by asking Tessa what she thinks makes for a good business leader in a country like the DRC.
I would say resilience and perseverance because, as you say, the business environment of the country, of the DRC, is very, very turbulent. So a good CEO has to be prepared and resist to shocks. And to succeed here, the CEO also has to be well organized, to have the right people around him, and must be able also to take decision and action very quickly to seize opportunity, depending on what is going on the political or the economic level.
And Tessa, what kind of challenges do you face as somebody who's leading a business?
I would say that being surrounded by the right people from a technicality and professional ethics point of view, it's quite a challenge in DRC. Also, the support of the state to promote investment and enterprises creation is also missing a lot. That's a big challenge we're facing here. The commercial conditions are not stable, the competition is not well regulated, and we have a quite difficult environment when we talk about the fiscal regime.
And how is it different, do you think, from leading a business in a developed country?
Yeah, the environment and the context are very, very different. The mentality and the behavior of administration, for example, of the state, the customers, the private and public partners, they are so different. We have also a huge gap on the infrastructure, for the roads, internet connectivity, electricity, etc., makes it more difficult to run a business, a big one or a small one in DRC than in other countries in the world, especially in Europe. So the context is very, very different, and we have, again, new challenges here, but I'm sure that we will find a solution for them.
And that's it from Tessa and me. So now I'll hand you back to Jack Aldane, who's with Michael Mithika, the CEO of Vision Fund International, the microfinance arm of World Vision. The company operates in fragile states such as, again, the DRC and also Azerbaijan.
How would you describe the pressure a CEO like yourself faces trying to grow a business in a fragile state? What worries do you as a leader have in these circumstances?
Evidently, working in these fragile states, the first thing that comes is the need is great and also equally difficult to operate in. So one, I'm constantly thinking, how can we make a difference and how can we deliver impact At the same time, we have operations. So the safety and the concern of our staff and security of our staff is top of mind. Now, we have to live with those tensions. That on one end, we want to make a difference. We want to deliver impact and be able to have something that is responsive for that particular context. And at the same time, do it through an operation that obviously one would be able to make sure the staff are safe. And at the same time, hopefully work towards a scale or a level at which this organization can be sustainable. So you have clear operational pressures, financial pressures. And at the same time, as a mission-led organization, you do want to have the greatest impact that you can have in that particular context.
You started your career in investment banking back in 1994. Do you ever miss the clarity of incentive versus risk that that career path offered compared with what you do now?
You're right. While I did start my career there, I think, you know, the absolute clarity of you know, you have the incentive reward and you will take on different risks. In a way, you miss it, but there will always be that tension between incentives and the rewards that you get. It's just that it has moved from financial to more of what are the social returns, what are the, what I call today, what are the impact dividends that I'm trying to deliver. So the motivation has changed somewhat, but I think even in the business that we run, don't forget that we would have capital. So I am under pressure to be able to deliver a financial return to make sure that our operations are sustainable. So in one way, we're running a business. But because we're impact first, we're absolutely committed to the social outcomes. You know, it is extremely fulfilling. And this goes for many of those on my team.
What advice would you give to somebody who, like yourself, comes from an investment banking background and wants to make a difference in the impact investment space?
You know, I would start with what they already have, most likely, which is the ambition. And I would encourage anyone who's considering moving gradually into this space. Ambition is absolutely important because it's partly what drives you to be innovative. But the lens quickly changes, and you need to move from self to a global view and to being seeing yourself as a global citizen. And that immediately helps you appreciate the challenges and just whatever is in the world in terms of the enormity of the problem. And I went through that path myself, just stepping back from my own country and beginning to travel more in sub-Saharan Africa. And once you open your eyes to beyond your small focus area, you quickly realize that you can actually use a lot of what you know and what you have to make a difference.
So now we take a slightly different perspective and look at a country that has emerged from fragility in the past decade and is now the fastest growing economy within the African continent, and this is Ethiopia. I spoke to Thierry Otto, the CEO of Ember, a mobile payment platform, about some of the challenges that Ethiopia, a country which, even though it has emerged from fragility, still faces its fair share of problems.
Well, it's always a risk. So we are taking this into account. For instance, you know, we recently completed a round of investment, the European Investment Bank and DEG, which is the Development Financial Institution of Germany, have invested in our company. And the reason why we have turned to these DFIs is because going to normal investment funds, we do not have too much appetite for political risks. Because at the end of the day, even so, Ethiopia is not a fragile state as per definition. There is still huge risks because it is Africa, it is a developing country which had the same political establishment for the last 28 years or something like that. So there is always a risk. And by the way, we were twice in a state of emergency in the last year and a half. How do we go around this? Well, number one, patience. Okay, because without patience in Ethiopia, you just are going nowhere. So patience and just local knowledge. So in the case of Amber in Ethiopia, I am the only foreigner in the organization. All the staff, and we have 50, 60 staff now, are all local, and therefore able to deal with the intricacies of administration whenever needed.
That's it for this episode. We hope it's given you a good insight into what it takes to lead a business in particularly difficult circumstances. For all those who are looking for a leadership role sometime in their career in development, or those who are just curious to understand how businesses operate within fragile states.
And for anyone wanting to get in touch with us about this episode or anything else, you can find us on Twitter. We're @DevFinanceNews and @CDC Group. Thanks for listening.